Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to Top Stories. I am Andy Zaltzman, once again rummaging in the archives of the Bugle podcast to find out what was the top story when it happened. Now, there's nothing like a plot twist, and in May 2015, the British public went to the polls in a general election, and the opinion pollsters got an almighty custard pie in the face. This is from issue 292 of the Bugle, entitled A Career-Defining Election, one of the last episodes I did alongside John Oliver.
So, top story this week, UK election news. Seriously, what the f*** just happened? What the f***? I mean, what? What the f***? But because you went... It's... What the f***, Andy? What the f***? If you live anywhere on Earth that is not the United Kingdom, then frankly, congratulations in a significant, lasting way. Because I'm guessing that the UK is a pretty depressing place to wake up this morning. Unless, of course, you're an arsehole. But then arseholes always wake up happy, Andy. After all, they are arseholes. I would sincerely hope that many... unexpectedly many people in Britain woke up this morning with an emotional hangover thinking, oh no, what did I do yesterday? Only to look at a stubby pencil on their pillow and scream, oh shit, please say I didn't vote Conservative. Oh please say, not again, not again, Lord. After a five-week campaign of shallow, cynical fear-mongering, the UK managed... Pretty effectively to exhibit many of the worst facets of the human condition. It really was a tasting menu of twattery on all sides. And the election was by all, literally all polls, expected to result in a hung parliament. And hung in the truest sense, in that democracy was supposed to attach a noose around its neck and attempt to kick the chair out from underneath its twitching feet. But either... the polls were all wrong, or there was a last-minute swing to the Tories. Essentially, the polls suggested that basically people had said to pollsters they would not punch themselves in the balls, they would absolutely not do that. Then they went into the polling booth, and 2 minutes later came out icing their genitals. That's, in a nutshell, what has happened. Because the end result is that the Conservatives have won the election, and David Cameron is once more head boy of the country. Head boy is back. Yeah. Now, I found it pretty depressing to watch from thousands of miles away, Andy. How did it look at point-blank range?
I mean, it was...
He's talking now. He's talking now. He's on TV. He's... Oh, f*** you. He's talking now, and he's... It's almost worse with the sound down.
Well, you saw
happy face.
Yes,
is moving. I hate it when his face moves.
So I'm guessing you're not happy with the results there.
Well,
John,
obviously he's a safe pair of hands to guide the country off the cliff.
That's right. They want to finish the job of finishing the country. That's all they've asked for and all they've got. As you say, it is the lunchtime after the morning, after the night before, which in turn followed the day, the previous morning, 5 weeks of almost exclusively infantile campaigning and 5 years of government that has put Britain back on track or sent Britain careering towards long-term disaster or both, depending on your view of Britain, tracks and disasters. And you talked about that swing in the ballot box, Sean. I think this was the key factor. I think it will come to be known as the Miliband swing. And I reckon that was worth a good 5 or 6%, maybe even 50 or 60%, caused by people in polling stations getting their pencils of democratic destiny in their hand, looking at their ballot papers, thinking about the kind of future they want for the country, for their children, the kind of role they want Britain to have in the world, the kind of ethics they want to have at the heart of our society. And then picturing Ed Miliband walking out of the door of 10 Downing Street or sitting down at a G8 summit and thinking to themselves, no, definitely no. And I think that has been the single crucial factor. David Cameron had asked in a build-up to the election, he said this, when you're in the polling booth, ask yourself on the things that matter in life, who do you really trust? Suggesting that the answer was him, which it clearly isn't. I mean, when I'm thinking about the things that truly matter in life, I can't do that in a polling booth, John, because I cannot vote for Wisden Cricketers' Almanac, and my mother wasn't standing. But it certainly was not David Cameron. But I think what happened is it was David Cameron, not necessarily in a positive way, but in a negative way, that it was less not him than it was definitely not Ed Miliband. And he's resigned just about an hour before we started recording, officially resigned, about 5 days after he basically resigned, when he unveiled an 8-foot-high stone with 6 Labour pledges on it. It was like a f***ing gravestone with a preemptive epitaph of his inevitably broken dreams. Resignation's flying. Nick Clegg has resigned. Nigel Farage has resigned. I'm hearing rumours that the Queen might have just got a bit carried away with it all and the excitement of the occasion. But it's hard to see what Miliband was thinking when he did it. I don't know if you might not all have seen it, buglers who haven't been following this election closely here in England. It was an 8-foot-high concrete slab, basically, with 6 incredibly nebulously worded pointless promises on it, signed by Ed Miliband, carved into the stone in handwriting that looked like he'd missed a couple of years of crucial education, with a gap at the bottom, as if they'd got 6 policies down and thought, oh, what the f***, no one's going to read this far, let's leave some space for the inevitable graffiti telling us to go f*** ourselves. And it's hard to think what he was thinking, John, as if Miliband was thinking there, and he'd had a bit of a bump in the polls, and he was doing all right, it was neck and neck, as if he'd thought to himself, maybe I was just getting bored of the novelty of appearing even vaguely electable and decided to get back to Ed Miliband basics, to do something that would make people look at him, then think about Downing Street, and once again say, no, definitely, definitely no. And the way he stood in front of this Ed Stone, you were expecting him to say, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to mourn the sad passing of my credibility and of the Labour Party as an election-winning force snatched away from us after a long and painful illness.
As we record now, David Cameron has just left his audience with the Queen. And I would think that even she would see him walk in the door, give a deep sigh and mutter, oh, f*** it's you again for another 5 years. I honestly don't know if I can f***ing do this. Charles, you're up. I'm out. I can't look at his face. It's just off-puttingly round. Many analysts are saying this is a fundamental shift in the landscape of the UK. And I guess specifically that landscape is going to shift from rolling green hills to a mountain of festering shit. In fact, there seems to be a sense that the UK as we know it may not be much longer for this earth. The United Kingdom may have to put the united part of its name in inverted commas, because if the election results are any guides, the UK is about to carve itself up like a self-harming turkey. I think basically, the UK is probably finished, isn't it, Andy? Because, as you say, the Labour Party was beaten more heavily than expected, and the Liberal Democrats are currently like the northern white rhinoceros, Andy. They're not technically extinct yet, but they probably need to be taken into captivity and bred very carefully over several decades if generations in the future are to see them in the wild again.
Absolutely. The SNP was not so much a curveball in this election. Well, it was a curveball that basically swung in viciously to smack the batter firmly in the nutsack before turning out not to be a ball but a hand grenade. And it has, as you say, thrown everything into a state of almost total electoral chaos. So we have a situation where the SNP have won, I think, 56 out of 59 seats in Scotland. Labour have won, the Conservatives have won. David Cameron proudly said, we held on in Scotland. Well, f***ing done. Tories, you f***ing love that country so much. You've kept the one seat that Scotland deigned to give you. I suppose it's like if you meet a man wearing nothing but a pair of underpants, and then you meet him again 5 years later, and he's still wearing the same underpants. You could either think he's got to be disappointed with that, or you could think, yeah, it could have been worse. Particularly if he's in a fashion contest that afternoon against someone he really doesn't like, who 5 years ago was wearing a decent quality lounge suit with a shirt and tie, and is now wearing nothing but a pair of underpants. It's Cameron is, I find him hard to warm to as a neutral. I'm not really neutral, but he made this glorious slip of the tongue that really kind of left us in no doubt as to what this election was all about. He said just a few days before the vote, he said, this is a country-defining election. And, John, for me, that is the most Freudian slip a career politician like Cameron can make. It couldn't have been any more of a Freudian slip if he just put on a pair of tight-fitting underpants with a picture of his mother on. Boom. I'm not sure there's enough Freudian slip jokes. Okay, let's go with a second Freudian slip joke. It couldn't have been any more of a Freudian slip if he'd asked a 20th century British painter renowned for his fleshy nudes to play cricket and field next to the wicketkeeper. For our American listeners, slip is the position next to the wicketkeeper, and Freud was a painter who painted big nudes. Thanks very much. That joke really kept me going through the dark night.
Apparently Cameron's referred to this as his sweetest victory, and is there any more alarming canary in the coal mine as his face being happy, Andy? When he's happy, something absolutely unspeakable has just happened. And in the speech that he has just wrapped up, he said, this is a country with unrivaled skills and creativeness. And yeah, as you say, Andy, seemingly at lying to pollsters. What happened? What the f*** just happened, Andy?
That was another Bugle Top Story. Thank you for listening. Now do pop over to the Mothership and listen to the latest issue of the Bugle podcast. It's very much like this Top Story show, but longer and from now or recently.
Hi, it's producer Chris from the Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.